from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is The Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast. My name is Jacob Fortan.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
And if we sound a little bit unusual, it's actually because Ryan and I are using Skype to communicate. So the power of technology is making this show possible.
Communicating across distant lands.
Where are you located again? If you could explain to the audience where you are.
Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Chattanooga. So what are you doing there?
I visited my family. I got Australian relatives down who just got here yesterday. So we're having a good Aussie time. Oi, oi, crikey, and all that.
Do they have like crazy accents and everything?
You know what? They have accents, but it's basically just a bit stronger than my mom. There are different levels of Australian accents. There are some people who have really thick ones, and some where it's kind of like, you know how England they have it from refined all the way to gutter. My Australian relatives they have a light, nice.
So they're more on the refined side. So yeah. They're refined. Okay, yeah. All right. See, that's all you had to say. I mean, it's not racist. You could just say that they're not Cockney bastards or something.
Oh, being racist whatever towards the equivalent. Australian would be quite ironic, let me tell you what.
Yeah, it would be a little bit ironic. Here's a little thing that's kind of interesting that I'm sure that the listeners will like. Both Ryan and I are back at the gym trying to get healthy. And which is brutal. Let me just say, firstly, I did Monday. Monday is when I started, so it was kind of like my huzzah getting back to work. You know, you do a whole bunch of posting, and then you're like, I'm going to go to the gym, and this is going to be awesome. And then the next day, you're like in severe pain. So that was where I was at for the last 2 days of just absolute pain in my legs, because I knew there'd be pain. I knew there'd be horrible. So I did my legs first, knowing that. You know, that's the one you start with.
Yeah, bigger muscles, spread it out. It's going to be okay and all that.
Yeah, it's your penance, really. It's your punishment for having allowed your body to slip.
Yeah,
is what it is.
Well, I hit this. I was doing legs too. I went to this crazy, ridiculous gym complex place because everything in the States is just a lot bigger. So I was at this crazy complex that had like a spa and a hot tub and all sorts of stuff. But anyways,
how much do they charge for a membership at this place?
A lot, but I'm just doing the 2 weeks free and they don't realize that I'm just visiting. So I'm using the 2 week free trial. I did all legs and I got on this weird Thighmaster thing where I'm like, I got weights, things in between my legs, and I scrunch my legs closed. And let me tell you what, I don't think I've ever used those muscles before because they were in such extreme agony that last night I was barely able to fucking sleep. It was just the absolute worst pain ever. And even walking around right now, I'm walking around like I just had my ball sack removed, basically. It is the worst.
Yeah, we never really do those muscles. They're very popular among women, actually, because they help tighten the thigh muscle. Is really what that is.
And other bits, potentially?
Mostly thigh muscle.
Okay.
Mostly thigh muscle. So, you know, if you want great thighs, you should probably do it. And in fact, if it really was hurting a lot, if you want to see lots of improvement, work on the muscles that haven't had any workout whatsoever, because those are the ones that need to be worked out. That's like a clue, man. The muscles that hurt the most are the ones that are the least developed. So guess what you got to work on? The ones that suck.
Yeah, pretty much.
Boo. Oh, well. But the boo, yeah, boo indeed. Working out sucks. Your body tries to stop you from doing it because it sucks. It does not want you to go out there and have your muscles injured. The fact that we do this is just, you know, a testament to masochism. Well, also that and the fact that if you don't use your body, it will start to go bad on you. Mm. Like overripened fruit.
That's a pretty good visual cue for what my body is looking like right now. An overripe pear.
There you go. I feel a little bit overripe myself, but we're working on improving that. So it's all part of the greater good.
Now,
be healthy.
As far as improvements and people trying to improve themselves. We're going to be talking about more of that Catholic Church and their efforts not to improve themselves, but to bury themselves.
You know what is unbelievable? What's unbelievable is I was reading an article on BBC News from just some schmo. It doesn't matter who the fuck it was. But he was trying to argue that the Vatican's problem was that it didn't have a cohesive media strategy. You know, like people were talking at different ends of their mouths. You know, like you have one cardinal, the number two man in Vatican, saying that homosexuality is to blame for pedophilia. And then you have this the guy who performs a service for the Pope, who compares or who just says that these are all just petty rumors. And then you have another guy who says that it's just like the Jews at Auschwitz. This is kind of like their weird message that's coming out. So the guy was trying to argue this is the reason why the Catholic Church is suffering so badly. And I'm like, did you forget that they raped a whole bunch of kids? I'm just going to put that out there. Yeah. Maybe a cohesive media strategy is not easy or effective when you've raped a bunch of kids. And not just like a tiny bunch. Not like a bunch that go, like not even a school bus worth. Like many school buses of children over decades just abused. I mean, who is the latest one that we were just hearing about? This Mexican guy, beloved man, Father Marcial Maciel Degollado.
Oh, you murdered that name, Jake.
Of course I did. I'm not, you know, I'm not good at names. I'm less good at names of in other languages, terrible at them. So what? Sue me, people. Sue me. Anyways, to the point, this guy, I think that the number last time I read was about 200 children that he molested and never went anywhere. And from a little documentary I was watching, it's the same old story that the Vatican officials had been told, but because he was a close friend of Pope John Paul II, the guy in charge of the doctrine of the faith, the Cardinal Ratzinger, said, no, we cannot prosecute this man. He's just too big. Can't do anything about it.
Yeah, now going back to that, when you were talking about that BBC guy saying that the problem is their message that they're trying to get out, I would actually turn it around and say one of the problems that's happening in this story is that the right message isn't getting out from us secularists as to what the problem is, because right now it's really heated. You got Dawkins going nuts. You got Hitchens. Hitchens was just on what's the name of that show that he was on? The Bill Maher show.
Yeah, I put up a video of it on the site. Go check it out, everybody. TheGoodAVs.net.
And Hitchens was basically saying that we need to arrest the Pope because he equated what the Pope was up to with child rape. And the problem with this is I think it's you've got all these people who are basically saying, oh, this is a witch hunt. And to a degree, when you're trying to equate what the Pope did with the actual pederasts themselves, which is, once again, it's a word that's pretty common now, actually.
It's the word of the day.
It's the word.
It is the word.
I think you got a problem, because basically you don't want to equate the Pope on the same, you don't want to put him on the same level as all the people who are doing the actual child rape. You just want to say these people knew, these people didn't tell anybody, more kids were raped because of it, and that's really what you want to go after them for, and that's what you want to, you know, pull out the statutes and say here's what we're going to get them on, and really hammer that home, because right now there's just this really nebulous gotta get the Pope, we're all out to get the Pope, and to me that's not helping anything, because people rightfully are saying, well, the Pope didn't rape anybody, and he didn't, but he did conceal them, the rapists.
And that is a crime.
It is a crime.
That is a fucking crime.
Yeah.
Well, that's another of their media strategy of saying this is a conspiracy against the Pope, and they just seem hilariously really out of touch, which is what they are.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're grown men wearing dresses and weird hats with gold and embroidering and scepters. Who has scepters? There is no need for scepters in this day and age, sir.
Mm.
Absolutely unnecessary. And weird incense and shit like that. Just completely, completely out of touch with mainstream society. So I don't think they can have a cohesive strategy, because they're not really, and this is my basic general point, is that no religious person, even if they think that they believe the same thing as their neighbor, has any degree of cohesiveness, really, honestly. People just believe in their own thing, and they might just sort of say, well, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Buddhist, right? They'll just associate themselves with specific religions, but they've already made that their own. They've already decided which parts they're going to choose to accept and which parts they're going to reject. And surprise, it might not be the same for everybody.
But do you think that it's the same up in the Vatican? Because you got to figure once you get into the boys' club like that, that kind of shit comes up. And my understanding is there's constant arguments. You know, that's a big part of why a lot of churches are kind of pulling this way, and that is because there are disagreements and it doesn't stand. You know, the Vatican is basically saying what we say goes, and you're not allowed. They'll defrock you faster for going against how they say the religion should go than they will for if you're touching little boys.
Oh yeah, well definitely. Well, they regard that as a much more serious crime. Look, as far as the Vatican has ever been concerned in the thousands of years since it's been around, is the fact that they are okay with child molesting. It's not as big a deal. And they view it as a sin rather than a crime. And that's really a huge problem. Mm-hmm. So the way that they deal with this is saying, like, okay, well, this father has sinned. And we believe that, you know, individuals need to seek redemption for their sins. And then therefore they're like, okay, well, go repent. You know, this is a sin. This is something that you've sinned at. And if you were to measure sort of like how great that sin is, it doesn't measure really that high. You know, abortion is a bigger sin for them. Mm-hmm. So a couple cells that's aborted just for any variety of reasons is a bigger crime. Or using protection is a bigger crime because they regard that as a form of abortion than, you know, forcefully shoving your dick in some 12-year-old's mouth. Yeah. This is completely and utterly unbelievable they feel that way. But when you have an institution where it's already known and accepted that if you do offend, if you're a child molester, there is a home for you, I'm not surprised that their numbers are skewed. There probably are some people that are like, you know what? I'm really attracted to young boys, and I don't know what to do. What should I do? I know. How about a career in clergy? I hear that there's a lot of boys in clergy.
One of the things that really I don't understand, maybe you can shed some light on it. It all seems to go back to the idea of scandal, and they say, okay, they find out about kids being molested, and they say, okay, well, we got to look at this in terms of the kind of scandal that it will cause. And they decide, rather than turning the person into the police and defrocking them, they think that will cause a bigger scandal than covering it up and hiding the priest. And to me, that's the most out of touch thing that you can do. You want to ask if the church is out of touch? Obviously, because they think that it's a bigger deal to turn the guy into the police than to hide him, move him, and cover it up. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but think about, you got to understand this though, dude. You have to look at it from the perspective they have as who is the authority figure, right? Like, we think of police as authority figures. We think of government officials as authority figures. As far as these individuals are concerned, they are the highest authority figure. Okay, it doesn't get higher than them. Police? What is that? That's for the rabble. In their minds, they're in touch with God, and God is the only true authority. And everything else is just man-made, the product of a secular, sinful society. Why should they feel that they are obligated to listen to the letter of the law? Like, they're quite obviously not interested in that. If they had been interested in it, they would have basically said, well, you've committed a crime rather than a sin, and we're going to notify the police. And the other reason is that they are obviously very protective of their reputation. And of course they have to be, because, well, you look at the kind of individuals that are within their ranks, and then you're just like, wow, we really do need... They probably needed a better PR person. I will say that. But at the end of the day, the question is it really is mostly about money? I mean, the entire reason why priests are celibate is for monetary reasons. There were countless popes that had children and priests had that for a while, but the problem that the Catholic Church was having is that these priests were passing on their assets to their children. So in the 11th century, the Pope decides at the time, I can't quite remember offhand who it was, but the Pope decides, okay, now you have to be celibate because the church retains all the property. Mm-hmm. So whenever there's the potential that a priest has committed some kind of offense that could be, well, that could result in needing a financial dispensation, you can bet your ass they're going to be worried about that because they're very rich. I don't know if you know this. They're very rich, and they don't like to part with their money. I think it's estimated that the value of just their monies around the world is about $50 billion. How much do you think the Vatican is worth if you were to put a price on it? You know, it's probably a lot.
But yeah, are you saying that it's celibacy that's causing this? Is that what you think?
Well, I think there has been lots of studies that show that celibacy is part of the problem. I think they have known that just because you essentially seal off anybody who goes into the priesthood typically go from it from pretty young. So you've never had any sexual experience before you enter in this fucking cult. And in this cult, they tell you that you are not to have any sex. So your sexual development is retarded. It literally stays at the point where you should have started having sex. So if you wonder why the numbers are so different, it's not everybody that's going to end up having a very twisted sexual outlook. There are probably some people that and lots of people that can deal with it. But the honest truth is that there is a problem whenever people's sexual development is retarded, and they can become pedophiles.
Because I always figure that it had more to do with. You know that whole absolute power corrupts absolutely. Well, I was figuring that absolute power over people like this makes you do stuff like that. I don't know why it skews more towards the young. Maybe it's because absolute power ain't what it used to be. I'm sure back in the day, how many times do you figure back in the day a priest would have used his position to just coerce adults into having sex with them? But I figure now,
I don't think that much. Look. If you are a 60-year-old virgin, you've never had sex with anybody, and you've never had any sort of sexual experiences, everything that you've ever thought of sexually, because, look, what these guys don't think about sex, they think about sex as much as anybody else, but it's going to get twisted. It's going to be weird. You're not going to know anything about it.
Well, add a whole fucking dose of shame and confusion to everything.
Shame, confusion, and the fact of the matter is that, even us as a society, we have, I would say, probably a bit of an unhealthy obsession with youth, really. And this is sort of like another manifestation of it. And I too have to believe that these individuals, these priests that can leave no offspring behind, must have sort of like some kind of twisted desires for youth, probably even by proxy. Just because they've never experienced any of the youthful exuberance that they probably even fantasize about. Who knows what the fuck is going on in their minds? The point is that it is a pretty messed up situation. They've known about this for a long time. They have known that there is a weird correlation. And to suddenly sort of say, oh, well, let them marry and that's going to solve it. Obviously, it's not going to solve everything. But it is weird that they just can't really get out of that tradition. It's not a tradition that's existed forever. It wasn't ever mentioned in the Bible. It's just a tradition of the Vatican, of the papacy, of the Roman Catholic Church. It's just what they've done. And it's really difficult for them to do any changes, to make any changes, and that's the reason why they are experiencing so many fucking problems. They don't want to change. The world is changing around them. And what would have just been swept under the rug 30 years ago, now it's in everybody's face. And we deal with child abuse differently than we did in the old days. In the old days, it's just shut your fucking mouth and just get over it. Now we correctly recognize that it's pretty fucked up, that you can't do that, that it leaves people scarred and having all kinds of problems, and it's bad. It's really, really bad, and we need to punish the people that do it.
But what I was surprised with was one of the articles that you sent me to read was about one guy who molested about 20 kids. And the number would have been higher if his parish didn't have a large number of immigrants that basically were unwilling to move forward with their case or point fingers or anything else like that. And that guy only got 4 years. He's serving a 4-year sentence for molesting that many kids. And I'm like, wow, that doesn't seem like a lot.
It really does seem kind of low, doesn't it? 4 years for touching kids. And but you have to wonder, what exactly are you supposed to do with these people? Really, what do you do with pedophiles? Because is there a drug that you give them? I don't know what to do with them. I really don't. Like, they scare the shit out of me.
It's one of those unfortunate gray areas of life that it's like the abortion question. Everybody understands that, no, we don't want tons and tons of abortions. Obviously, abortions are an unfortunate thing that nobody enjoys, but they're going to happen, and you have to figure out a way for them to happen. Now, with child molesters, it's one of those situations where who knows what the fuck you're supposed to do with them. You can't chemically neuter them anymore, because let's face it,
unless you're in Thailand, they still do that there.
I know, and it's messed up. It's like, now, on one hand, you know, you've got that instinct to say, do it. Kill these people, do whatever horrible thing you want to do to them. But on the other hand, we say, well, we are a civilized society, and we got to figure out a way to do it. I just don't know if 4 years is the answer.
It just it screams to me as some kind of terrible miscarriage of justice. But that's just me. Mm-hmm. That's just me. I have a real disdain for child molestation, which is why we're still talking about this. I mean, you have to wonder how much more we are going to talk about it. Probably a lot. Well, because it just doesn't seem... It keeps... The more and more time passes, the more and more accusations come out. Anybody who thinks that it's sort of like this is the tail end of it, I'm like, you're in a delusion. People are like... It's like a domino effect. You know, once people are start developing the courage to come out and talk about this abuse, more people feel secure in doing so as well. It's not easy being the first. It's like, go to the dance floor, be the first to dance, see how fucking great that feels. Mm. Now imagine that you've been molested.
And on top of that, new info just keeps coming out. I mean, a couple weeks ago, it was a church that Ratzinger was in charge of had a molester, and they just said, oh, well, Ratzinger had nothing to do with that. He wasn't aware of it. You know, the most hands-on Pope, hands-on guy around, didn't know anything about it. And then a couple weeks now, we're at that point where the letter came out where Ratzinger basically says, you know, we're not going to defrock this guy because we have to consider the church. And it's got a signature on it and everything like that. So it's just more and more evidence continues to come out.
You have to wonder how much evidence it would take for somebody to actually do something, though. Like, seriously, yeah, okay, fine. Hitchens and Dawkins can try to entice a prosecutor, or, you know, crown, or I don't know what the fuck there's in England. They call their legal system there, but someone to prosecute the Pope. They can find someone to do that, but is anybody actually going to go ahead and do it?
Or is anybody even going to condemn the situation? I mean, we have these guys clearly covering up child molestation, and yet there's no statements from any prosecutors saying that it's disgusting, that it's wrong, that they're going to investigate it. Not a peep. And I understand that it's a politically sensitive issue and all, but I mean, again, why are we pussyfooting around child rape?
It does seem kind of insane. And also, the fact of the matter is, the Vatican is not a recognized city-state. It was just established, I think, in the 1929s by a fascist dictator saying, like, okay, you can run your own affairs and, you know, not worry about taxes or any of this other noise. So there's no reason why you could just not walk in and say, this is a fucking raid. We have a warrant. We are going to find out what the fuck you knew. Like, there is sufficient evidence now to warrant that. It's kind of where the word warrant comes from. I just don't understand why no one is doing anything. Like, surely some people who have been raped can find some sympathetic individual to begin proceedings? Surely? No? Is it that hard? Is that impossible?
You have to imagine. I mean, we're just talking about it on a podcast. Other people are writing about it. But you got to figure that somebody in charge has had to look a person who was raped by a priest in the eye and say, I'm not going to do anything about it. I mean, it's had to have happened. It's going to happen.
It's probably happened a lot of times, yeah.
Yeah, and I just don't understand how that conversation works.
I would love to overhear that conversation.
I don't know. It's one of those. It's like The Office. Too uncomfortable for me to watch.
Yeah, but I would love to know the answer to that, because knowing the answer to that question goes a long way. Why is no one doing anything? That's my question. I don't know the answer to this question. Why is no one doing anything? Who can do something? Maybe that's the better question. Who? Certainly not me. I can't do it.
Well, I guess that's the whole thing Hitchens is pushing, is that he's got some lawyer friends who are looking into what they can try and put together to persuade somebody in England to basically try and at least question the Pope. Or the cool thing about that whole situation that's going on, when the Pope comes to England, he's got a scheduled visit to go there, and I don't think that anybody's going to get any headway into getting him arrested or anything, but I do like the fact that they're making sure that the questions are asked, and that is the main focus of his visit.
Because, I said, give him a fucking subpoena. You've been subpoenaed, Pope man. Show up. Why not just a subpoena?
Why not just something? Something for God's sake. So I don't feel like I'm going crazy.
Like, you're being subpoenaed to testify. You're being subpoenaed to testify, and we will see if you perjure yourself. How about that? How about that? You don't even need to bring police officers. You can just say, here is a subpoena. Come to this court on this day. And then we'll know whether or not we're to charge you with anything. How about that? And then you can do like a whole Law and Order episode. I think that's what we need. We need a Law and Order to do an episode so we know how to do it.
Yeah, Law and Order UK ain't that bad, actually. I could dig that. It's got the guy from Battlestar Galactica. I never even knew that he was British.
I've never even watched the series, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Sad.
Okay, you know what? I think we're going to wrap up the show. I have to go and have supper with a friend. So we're going to cut it short, but I'd like to thank everybody for contributing and for listening. Hopefully we're going to keep you on for a lot of years, as long as we can keep doing what we're doing. Until the day where I guess we just give up or something.
Or die from being out of shape because this gym thing. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Or my heart explodes or something horrible. So until that happens, then we'll continue to give you the podcasty goodness. Okay, with that, we'll catch everybody for the show on Tuesday. My name is Jacob Fortan.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.